Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me, Morgan Flitt. Today I have Brooke Willett on the podcast. Brooke suffers from a chronic disease known as rheumatoid arthritis. We met via a podcast Facebook group and she reached out to me to be a guest on the podcast. And when she told me her story, I knew that I had to have her on and interview her. Chronic illnesses affect a lot of people, and I'm sure it affects people that listen to this podcast. And Brooke's story is so relatable, has a ton of valuable information in it. She talks a lot about her chronic illness, what it is, and basically how she lives with it, how she has an active life with it. I think a lot of people fail to realize that if you're just like a normal person like myself and you don't suffer from an illness, it's not really a question of, oh, will I be able to do this exercise? Will I feel okay to work out tomorrow? Can I live a healthy and active lifestyle? But these are the sort of questions and fears and worries that people like Brooke, who do suffer from chronic illnesses, have. So I feel like this episode was so important to record. I'm so glad I had Brooke on. Brooke also has a blog and she's coming out with a podcast soon that she interviewed me on. So I'll let you guys know on my Instagram, Morgan Flitt Health, when that episode is up. But definitely check out her blog. Brooke is such a cool person. I'm so excited about this episode. I just think this is such a unique interview. I think Brooke's story is so unique, but I also think a lot of listeners who silently suffer from chronic illnesses will relate to this. So I think you guys will absolutely love this episode. Let's get into it and meet Brooke. Okay, so I am sitting here via Zoom with Brooke Willett, who is the author and the creator of the blog, and then also the soon-to-be podcast. Super exciting. I love having another podcaster on. So welcome, Brooke.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we have a very exciting conversation planned. We found each other through like a Facebook podcast group, and I think Brooke's story is going to be so cool and unique. So Brooke, just go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Sure. So my name is Brooke. I am originally from small town Vermont, but I currently live in Lexington, Kentucky. I graduated from the University of Kentucky back in May with a Bachelor's of Science in Animal Science and also a Bachelor's of Science in Equine Science and Management. I'm currently working as a vet tech and then also running the blog and the podcast and kind of doing all the stuff. And that's kind of the short version of, I guess, what's going on with my life right now.
Do you want to touch on the sort of content you're going to be putting out on your blog and podcast?
Yeah, sure. So it's going to be pretty lifestyle focused. I really wanted to create a space for kind of authentic lifestyle content and just really touch on everything from, you know, my personal favorite restaurants and personal favorite, you know, items and those sort of things, but also touch on different things like living alone and kind of struggling with, you know, self-confidence and things like that, and just kind of different aspects of my life. And there's going to be some like dog mom content on there because I have my own dog and that's a huge part of my life here in Kentucky, and being a vet tech and all that sort of thing. So it's going to be pretty much, if I had to give it a genre, I guess I would say lifestyle. But it's going to have a whole lot of everything on there.
I love how you are doing a blog. I feel like blogs are making such a big comeback. They used to be like all the rage like 5 or 6 years ago. I used to read blogs religiously. And then I think as podcasts have gotten more popular and YouTube, I feel like everyone has a YouTube channel. I think it's really cool that you're doing something different.
Yeah, I really love blogging. I think it's just something that I can do kind of wherever I am. So it kind of was born out of just these long texts that I would send my friends of just random things. And one of my best friends was like, you write me these paragraphs all the time. Why don't you write all of them down and put them somewhere so that you have them? And so I really feel like blogging fits my lifestyle a lot. It's something that I can do on my lunch break and I can do it while traveling when I can travel again and kind of in the car, different things like that. If I get an idea, I'll, you know, voice memos are huge on my phone for when I'm driving and things like that. So I think it blends really nicely with kind of the podcast space. And also it's just something fun to do when I'm sitting at home watching TV and things like that too.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I want to shift the focus to like the main theme of today's conversation. So when you reached out to me, you told me that you have rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. So I really would like to know about like what your chronic illness is. So explain it to anybody that doesn't know what rheumatoid arthritis is. And then you had said that you thought you have a really interesting perspective being someone that lives with a chronic illness and also implementing working out into your life. So just go ahead and explain what rheumatoid arthritis is and then sort of just like explain your experience working out with this illness.
Yeah. So rheumatoid arthritis in kind of the most simple terms is one of the most common kind of autoimmune disorders. It's basically a lot of pain and swelling of your joints. I actually was diagnosed at the age of 8 with another autoimmune disorder called juvenile dermatomyositis, which is pretty much just a really long word for an autoimmune disease that affects mainly your muscles and skin. So I had like purple bags under my eyes at like the age of 8 is kind of how we figured it out. But kind of the most common thing with that, especially in terms of fitness, is you have a lot of decreased mobility because of the arthritis and you can't put a lot of pressure on your joints and things like that. But as far as my other autoimmune disorder goes, it is a lot of muscle weakness. So like, for example, to diagnose me, the doctor had me lay on the floor and I was supposed to do a sit-up, which, you know, as someone who rode horses and was really active, you know, at 8 years old, shouldn't have been a problem to, you know, sit up from the floor and go about my day. And I couldn't even get up off the floor without, you know, having to basically like roll over and climb my way up something. So it's made fitness and kind of athletics and sports pretty difficult, I would say. As a young kid, I remember, you know, sitting in gym class and being able to only do something for maybe 10, 20 minutes. So growing up, I had a really hard time with kind of this notion of, you know, everyone around me was really active. And, you know, in high school and middle school, you're supposed to play sports and that's supposed to be your fitness. And you're supposed to be, you know, really into one sport and that sort of thing. And my parents were always super active. And so it was really hard for me to have to kind of grapple with this fact that I wasn't able to do a lot of workouts and things like that. And especially going into college, I remember being like, what the heck am I supposed to do? Because, you know, I can't put that much stress on my joints because even though I had built my muscles up from horseback riding and playing field hockey the best I could and things like that, there was still kind of that limitation. And so for me, I really had kind of like a love-hate relationship with fitness for a really long time because I really wanted to be active and I wanted to be someone who would go hiking with my friends or would go to the gym with my roommate. And it was just something that, you know, I'd get kind of in a routine and then I would overdo it. And so then I would stop. And so then I would fall off a routine. So that's kind of where I've been for a good portion of my life. I would say up until this year, I really kind of had this struggle with kind of a fitness routine. So it's definitely been a journey for sure.
Have you ever struggled with people maybe looking at you different or challenging your chronic illness? Because I feel like you're so young. And when I think of people having rheumatoid arthritis, I think of older people. Like that's the sort of commercials I've seen on TV for medicines about it. So it's so crazy that you're so young and you live with this. Have you ever like just felt very challenged by other people about the legitimacy of your illness, or you've just felt so different compared to other people your age?
Yeah, I think I have had such a really great support group. But I remember being young and refusing to tell people that I had arthritis because it's, you know, kind of a scary thing for a young person to have to, any sort of illness I feel like is really scary to have to kind of admit that you have this limitation or anything like that. And I think for me, the hardest part was because I did still try to be very active. And I did still participate in different things and I didn't from the outside look any different. I think there were a lot of times where people maybe weren't necessarily, you know, maybe they were internally, but there was nobody who was ever like, oh, you're not sick or anything like that. But they would definitely be very confused and kind of like, what are you talking about? And a lot of what I would get when I did finally, you know, say anything would be like, oh, I thought that was like for old people. And it was just like, yeah, pretty much, but kids can get it too. And then they were like, oh, okay. And so thankfully I've never had to have this really awkward conversation with anyone about, you know, what to do. But I do remember, you know, being in, I took a scuba diving class in college and having to fill out the medical questionnaire, and everyone else was like, oh, I don't really need to read this. And I can just like check no on all these boxes or whatever. And I remember having to go up to them and be like, hey, so is this going to be an issue? And they really didn't know. So a lot of it has been more just because it's something that not a lot of younger people get. I think there's a lot of kind of confusion when you do have to kind of navigate kind of like, is this going to be a problem for me in this specific situation? Is this not? And sometimes people don't know. And so you have to kind of decide whether or not you want to take the chance on it, you know, being something that may be a little more detrimental to you in the long run.
How did you feel, like, how did you cope with feeling, you know, quote unquote, different when you were a kid? Because I know so many kids obviously try to keep up with their friends. And if your friend is going to play a sport, you want to go and play it with them. And maybe you had limitations that kept you from doing that. How did you sort of cope with those feelings?
I think in the beginning, I definitely did not cope well. I remember in the beginning just being so upset all the time and just kind of going home and being really kind of depressed about it for a really long time. And then I just remember my mom being like, listen, the only way that anyone's going to be able to help you is if you are open with them and you tell them. And I'm not saying you have to tell everybody all at once, but you know, you should tell, you know, your best friend. And so I really kind of started out slow, and I told, you know, one friend at a time, and it would be kind of one sort of situation. And I would just kind of do my best to kind of keep up with them. And then I just kind of had to recognize that there are times where, you know, you can't go play soccer the way they can. So I really started leaning into, you know, being supportive at those sort of events. So if my friends had a soccer game, I would have my mom bring me to the soccer game, and I would make them big signs, and I would still kind of feel like I was a part of it. And I would just really kind of try to be involved the best I can. I think that for me, my parents not forcing me, but really pushing me to still be as active as possible was really helpful. So they were really receptive to the idea of me getting into horseback riding, because that was something that was really helpful for me mentally and physically. It kept me in really great shape without being too hard on any of my joints and things. And then I think I was really fortunate enough to discover a really great community at a summer camp that was put on by Dartmouth Hitchcock Hospital. And it's a week-long summer camp for kids with autoimmune disorders. And you go and, you know, it's basically like a normal sleepaway summer camp. You go and there's, you know, rock climbing and swimming and all that sort of thing. But it's all centered around making sure all of you kind of kids going through this situation are really kind of recognized, and everything is modified to fit, you know, everyone's different limitations. And that was the first time that I ever felt like I wasn't the only kid going through that. And so I think that finding a community of people who were going through something similar has been really helpful. And I mean, they're some of my best friends in the whole world. And I still keep in touch with them today. So I think that that for me was really helpful. And so if I ever do talk to kids or anything like that with people who are going through something similar, I will tell them, you know, reach out and see, you know, is there a community of people who are kind of like you? Because it is really, really beneficial.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Because I feel like, especially when you're a kid, it can feel like the end of the world and like you're the only one who's suffering with it. And there's definitely strength in numbers with that sort of stuff. So that's so cool that you found that. So you mentioned horseback riding. What are other sorts of exercises that you enjoy doing and find work well for you?
I think yoga is a really big, or stretching, just kind of anything that is low impact has been really helpful for me. It's also a really great way to just kind of center myself with kind of the craziness of the world. Swimming has been really helpful for me because it's a lot of less weight on my joints and things like that. And recently I've started going to Pure Barre, which like I never thought I would be one of those people who was like going to some studio workout sort of thing. It was just never what I thought I would be into, but it has been probably the best thing I've done in 2020. I think it is such a great workout for people who need kind of a low impact. It really kind of blends, you know, stretching and kind of low impact cardio and strength training and things. So I would say that if you can do it, Pure Barre is one of the best things to do for that sort of thing.
One of my really good friends, Alexa, we know each other through school. She is obsessed with Pure Barre. She goes all the time. Like she's considered even like trying to train to be an instructor for it. She is obsessed with it. And I've gone to a couple of classes with her because I used to be a dancer. So it's fun to sort of like get in touch with like my dance skills, but I never got like super into it. But if you like Pure Barre, you should try Pilates because they're similar. But Pilates, you could do just like mat Pilates on your yoga mat and there's no like extras how there are with Pure Barre. But yeah, I used to be the type of person who I thought you had to have equipment to work out. And it's the quarantine has showed me you don't have to. Like I got so into Pilates and so into walking. Walking is so underrated.
I love walking, especially with the dog. Like that has been honestly my saving grace for quarantine because I think I would have lost my mind in this apartment if I hadn't had some reason to go for a walk because it's been so helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I saw somewhere, I heard somewhere, someone said like walking is the new running. And I'm like, that is so true because I always tried to be a runner. I thought if you were a runner, you were like the coolest person. Like right. If you could just go and like run 5 miles, I thought that was amazing. And I always tried to do it and I just hated it. And then I finally just started doing like long walks and they are my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cannot get behind running. I tell all of my friends, I'm like, I'm only ever going to run if someone is chasing me, like maybe. And that's where my running kind of stops for sure.
Yeah. That's good that you found exercises that fit your lifestyle because I think especially with younger people and young women especially, I think they try to force themselves into liking certain exercises because they're popular at that moment. Like I feel like a couple years ago, everybody went through like a huge weightlifting phase because that's when like, I mean, Whitney Simmons is still huge, but like she really popularized weightlifting among women and it's great to do. But like I was doing it in college and I was like, this sucks. I hate this.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So are you on any sort of anti-inflammatory diet?
I am not. When I was younger, it was kind of the buzz diet to be like, oh, you have arthritis. Have you gone gluten-free? Like that was the...
I was going to say, do you like believe in that sort of stuff? Because I know there's some people who really, truly, truly believe that food can fix everything. And I believe that to an extent, but at the same time, like modern day medicine exists for a reason, I feel like.
Yeah, I know a couple of my friends who have gone, you know, gluten-free, for example, and they've done really well and they haven't flared as much or something like that. For me, I don't know if it's growing up with a dad who majored in health science and a mom who's a nurse or what the deal is, but I never kind of got into the more holistic side. I think that there are definitely certain things that I've noticed really kind of affect how I feel, but I also know kind of the benefits of my medication or what I was on for my arthritis and things. So I never follow like a really specific diet. I will say kind of recently I have found that I feel way better when I'm eating a lot of less processed sugars in particular. Just kind of all around, I feel like I just have more energy when I'm eating more whole foods, particularly like fruits and things, which I think also plays in a lot to I have more energy to work out. And so then I'm more active. So it's kind of a chain reaction for me. I do try, you know, to eat a lot of things for like bone health. So calcium and those sort of things, just because I am very aware that I kind of have this extra piece of health that I need to be focusing on. But I would say for me, it's just kind of eating in moderation. Like I try to eat healthy most of the time. And if I want to get pizza with friends, then I'm going to get pizza sort of thing. But I think it's different for everybody, particularly in the autoimmune space, because there's so much that we don't know about these autoimmune illnesses that, you know, for some people, being on a specific diet works really great. And for some people, it doesn't. And so it's hard for kind of me to tell someone, you know, that, you know, if you eat this specific diet, you're going to be totally fine, because, you know, I've tried a million different things to do and they've worked or they haven't, or they've worked for a little bit and then they stopped, or vice versa. So I would say just moderation has been my key for it.
Yeah. I love how you said that a specific diet isn't going to work for every single person, because I think no matter if you have any sort of autoimmune disease or if you are completely healthy and fine, there's like a big stigma around diets, especially when a certain one is getting popular. Like I remember the whole food combining trend, like everyone swore food combining was the best thing since sliced bread and that it fixed all of their digestion problems, it fixed their bloating, blah, blah, blah. And then I remember when people were slowly coming out saying, this isn't really working for me, they would get relentlessly attacked. And they were like, well, you have to be doing it wrong because it's working for me. So clearly you're doing something wrong. And I think that goes for any sort of diet. Like I'm the type of person where I don't really like to label how I eat, but I don't know. I feel like when veganism was huge, I felt like there was a lot of shame from vegans on like in the YouTube space. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Freely, but like if Freely like attacks people if they aren't vegan. And I just feel like that goes for any diet. I think that was a really important point that you brought up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have any advice to someone who lives with a chronic disease or autoimmune disease, but still wishes to be active and maybe keep up with their friends and family?
I would say that you just have to be very patient with yourself. Sorry, my dog is like tweaking. Wrigley. Thank you.
Oh my God. Is your dog named Wrigley?
Yeah.
That is so funny. My older brother and his fiance's dog is named Wrigley.
Oh my gosh. He's like, he gets very grumpy when I don't pay attention to him. So sometimes. Oh my gosh,
that's
like,
so funny. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Anyway, I would say that you have to be really patient with yourself, because especially in terms of fitness and being active, it doesn't matter if you are the fittest person alive. If you are going through any sort of autoimmune disease or any sort of illness, it's just like getting a cold. Like if you wake up and you don't feel your best, like your workout's not going to be the best, or you're not going to be able to work out. And so I will tell people, you know, having an autoimmune disease is not the end of the world by any means. You can live a completely full life with it, but you have to recognize that there are going to be points in time where you're moving a little slower than maybe your friends are, or you're moving a little slower than you thought you would. So you have to give yourself grace to rest and recover and be okay with your timeline, because you can't put so much pressure on yourself, because ultimately the more pressure you put on yourself, the more stress you put on yourself, especially when you're battling something like that, can be detrimental in the long run. So, you know, as much as I am all for, you know, if I wake up and I don't feel like going to a Pure Barre class, like I will push myself if it's just because I'm being lazy. I also have to wake up and take count, like, am I feeling like I don't want to go because I'm just being lazy? I was up late the night before. Or is my body trying to tell me something like, hey, you need to chill? So I would say just being really in tune with your body and learning kind of what your different triggers are and what your different signs are for, you know, possibly being not as well as you should be for working out is really important. But just being patient is going to be kind of the key to being fit with autoimmune disorder.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any like resources, like books, podcasts, like Facebook groups that you're a part of, or if you've read that you think were really helpful in your journey and you could share?
I really liked, I love The Skinny Confidential just as a podcast resource, just in general. I think that I really value the honesty and stuff that comes out of there. I am really big on just researching different groups that pertain to your kind of specific autoimmune disorder. So for me, the Arthritis Foundation has been a really huge support system. They have arthritis conferences each year for kids and young adults. Going to those sort of things has been really huge, and they have really great speakers and different kind of people who come and do different workshops and things like that. But I would say kind of the biggest thing for me was definitely finding like-minded people and people going through shared experiences. So like I said, that summer camp that I went to, it was called Camp Dartmouth Hitchcock. It's in Fairley, Vermont. So finding a support group like that, but it's even as simple as just like searching a Facebook group. Like I think there's one called like Kids Get Arthritis Too was really big for me. Just finding groups that I could kind of vent if I felt like I needed to, but also get some really great advice has been kind of the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Okay, where can people find you? Share your social media, your blog, your podcast, all that.
Yeah, so my blog is actually though, which is tho.org. My Instagram is actually though _, spelled the same way. And then I also have my personal Instagram, which is bmw_6998, which is pretty much mostly pictures of my dog, but it's fun. And then the podcast will be called Actually Though, and it will be on all major platforms.
Yay, awesome. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much to Brooke for taking time out of her day and sitting down and chatting with me. I think her story is so cool. I hope you guys got some value out of this episode. Feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at MorganFlittHealth and let me know your feedback and your thoughts about the episode. Also, feel free to follow me on Instagram. I'm also going to put Brooke's social media and her blog in the episode show notes, so make sure you go check out her blog, give her Instagram a follow. She is a really cool person. And like I said, she has a podcast coming out soon, so make sure you check that out. Make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. I would really appreciate if you gave the show a 5-star review and maybe also did a little written review, as it helps Apple market my podcast to more audiences. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you guys in the next one. Bye, everyone.